Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
On today's wrestling news, I've got a full list of banned WWE terms.
Why TNT do not want AEW to pull any more unexpected surprises.
Why Triple H turned down a WrestleMania match.
And everything you need to know about Chris Jericho's upcoming appearance on the Broken Skull Sessions.
Are you ready? Are you ready for the news time? Yes, my name is Phil Chambers and I'm joined by Gareth Morgan to talk all things wrestling news on this fine Saturday morning. But before we get into it, make sure you subscribe to the channel, like the video, comment down below what you think of all of today's stories, and links to each story are in the description below. Click the timestamps and away you go. So first up, this is coming from Fightful Select, they're reporting it. They've got themselves a list of banned terms and what people are supposed to be saying on social media and things from WWE that they sent out to their promotional partners for WrestleMania 36 last year. And this is, you've got to assume, a banned list that they're still recirculating now. So, a bit of a basic background to it. The sort of social media guidelines that instructed what people can and can't say specifically about WWE. Like, there's a few things in there that aren't necessarily just banned terms. They talk about how, like, associated accounts are not supposed to reply to fans in the comments. They're not supposed to speculate on rumors or future storylines. And they're always to promote the WWE talent in a positive light. They're also told to do things like be sensitive of the language used and how it may be interpreted by dirt sheets, using the term dirt sheet specifically there as well. They also say about not using talent names that the brand did not have endorsement rights to, and then using things like pedigree, spear, people's eyebrow, and smell la la were among those terms, apparently. Smell la la being a very strange one, because I use that in everyday conversation all the time. And they also said to, like, always present WWE and talent in a positive light and do not use messaging that enables or encourages fans to speak negatively about the product. And then they went on to give a full list of banned terms. And it's quite interesting. Some of them in there, you can see why. Some of them are a little bit weirder. And I'm just going to read them out and then we can have a talk about it. So, first up, blood, choke, belt, strap, regards to championship belts, obviously. Diva, not allowed. Headshot, trauma, both not allowed. Kayfabe, mofos, of course. House show, not using that term of any remark, because obviously it's WWE live event. DQ, I guess because they use so many of them, they don't want people talking about how many they use. The anti-diva, you weren't allowed to use. Spinal injuries, victim, violence, stroke, violent. Which is just absolutely mad. Wrestling / wrestlers, obviously, because they prefer to be called superstars. WWF was still not allowed, obviously, although that seems like a no-brainer at this point. Wife beater in there from out of nowhere. Curb stomp was not allowed at the time, although they've reversed the decision on that by now, I think. Needs a push, not allowed. To be over, not allowed. Babyface and heel, not allowed. To job / jobber. So all of the sort of backstage, behind the scenes terms, not allowed to use any of that. Card, not allowed. Strangle, kill, and murder, all not allowed. It's a varying list there, all from last year's WrestleMania, that you're not allowed to use. Like I say, some of them make sense. in terms of just WWE, but other than, like, they just go a little bit mad. Like, where did they get mofos from in all of this?
That one just feels like, all right, just cover your bases. just in case somebody feels the need to go, you know, that guy is one hell of a mofo. It's like, whoa, where's that come from? That is just... Some of these are mad. Like, obviously, like you said, some of them are really understandable. Like, the blood choking, like, just they're trying not to present an ultra-violent product. That's what WWE want to be. Like, showcasing that to their investors, and that makes a lot of sense. But stuff like spinal injuries, they're a thing. You can't just, like, forget they're a thing. Like, especially with, like, that many of them going down in WWE. Maybe it is a case of just, like, they don't want to draw attention to the fact that so many spinal injuries have gone down in WWE. The curb stomp one... I think now the way they've gotten around that is if you really like look at when Seth Rollins does the move, they just call it the stomp now. So maybe it is.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't think they like the association with a curb. So yeah, because I think people are just going to smash people's
American
heads.
History X kind of associations.
I think they're so kind of I get that one again, but card it is a card.
It's all the sort of backstage terminology, like the sort of dirt sheet terminology that they just. Don't want people using.
It's just nuts. It's like they're just trying to escape what they are. They can't admit what they are. We know WWE. You might not say the words, but we'll say them. We'll say card jobber. We may not say wife beater and mofo because that's just.
I mean, we just broke all of us. We read the entire list.
We're not getting invited to the WrestleMania 37 pre-promo stuff, are we? That's just
we weren't anyway.
No, we're on the outside looking in, but that's the way we like it. But we will talk about some more, let's say, outside looking in stories. Okay, some news because. TNT apparently, right, and this is all according to Chris Jericho, who's talking on his Talk Is Jericho podcast. I believe it was Christian, his most recent guest. He was just talking about why TNT don't want AEW to pull any more big surprises. Now, I'll go into a bit more detail. This isn't just TNT going, nope, you can't have anybody new showing up anymore. We don't like that. And that's obviously not the case. It's more they weren't big fans of the fact that somebody like Sting, he was the key example in this statement, that someone like Sting was just randomly thrown in there at Winter Is Coming without any build, any real advertisement beforehand. It was just a big shock. We as wrestling fans absolutely loved that if you were already tuned in to watch Winter Is Coming because it had like that much that we wanted to see anyway. It was a cool additional big shock. We loved it. But TNT as a company, as a business, were going, well, if we knew we had Sting coming in, if we would have put him up there and advertised him beforehand, more eyes, more casual eyes, probably would have tuned into the show, would have got bigger reigns. So you kind of see where they're coming from. But that's pretty much what he says there. He says, when Sting was a surprise, TNT was like, don't do that again. That's why Paul White was announced on social media, because TNT said, we don't want surprises. We want to take advantage of the ratings. We had a big surprise, a big announcement, and we used the big announcement to announce the next big surprise. I think that's one of the reasons, too, to spread it out a little. So there is a big thing that you could probably say on the back of this is, AEW during this whole Paul White Christian eventual reveal, they may have been, you could accuse them maybe of, in some people's minds, overselling and under delivering. Like, that argument's been out there, like, because they built it up so much, they kind of went a bit crazy with the whole, oh, pre advertisement, let's go mad. And it was never going to live up to that hype, even though Christian's amazing. It just wasn't because they built it up so much. So there's still a little bit of fine tuning, let's say, with the whole AEW surprise reveal process.
Yeah. It's a difficult one. It's like towing the line between just under-delivering and over-anticipation. It's quite difficult. But, I mean, you can see where TNT are coming from for this. Like, if you're fighting for TV ratings all the time, you want something to promote, something to bring eyes to the next show. And, like, on a much, much, much smaller scale, we kind of went through this with WCPW and Defiant as well when we were, like, delivering these moments where you get to have someone come in and it be a complete shock. Like, we had sort of Christopher Daniels come in and that was a complete shock. We did Moose, like, a bunch of times. He was, like, our go-to shock guy. It became a bit of an in-joke by the end of it. But, like, when you get to deliver those moments, like, the crowd reaction and, like, the moment that you're capturing is, like, absolutely incredible. And then the buzz that you get off that of like, oh my God, anything can happen at these shows is the kind of thing that you want to like make people turn up. But if you're like paying loads of money, bringing in some top star and like you, especially when you've got sort of TV contracts and supposed to be doing the best for your producers and things over there, then you kind of just, you want that thing like where you've got a week's build, a bit of anticipation for the next show where you're like, oh my God, this guy is coming in. And the moment itself will never be as good as just someone appearing out of nowhere, because that's just I mean, that's always some of the best moments in wrestling, when like the complete shock value, like John Cena at the Royal Rumble or whatever it is. Like, that's a hell of a moment. And then the tie in that line between, but yeah, the whole idea is to sell tickets and make money and get TV ratings, and so you kind of need this other thing. So it's difficult line to toe, and you can see where they're coming from, really. But yeah, moving over to WWE for a sec. Triple H, WrestleMania, it doesn't have a match at WrestleMania. Interesting fact that WrestleMania 37 is only the third WrestleMania since he started with WWE in 1996 to not have a Triple H match, and the first time ever since joining WWE that he will miss two WrestleManias in a row. And now Triple H was speaking to a media scrum about this very fact recently, and talking about a possible match that AJ Styles was angling for quite some time, because AJ Styles wanted the big Triple H match at Mania. Of course you do. It's quite a big spot for a WrestleMania card. So Triple H was talking about how AJ just pestered him every time he saw him, asking him if it was available or not. And he just got some quotes from Triple H about it. Just says that the older you get, the harder it gets. Doing this once a year or once every couple of years is not an easy task. You try to stay in the best shape you can, but that's not WrestleMania shape. That's a very different thing. And he goes on to talk about how just busy he is in general and how much extra work he has backstage now. And he talks about how he's not going to have the bandwidth or the availability schedule-wise to be able to pull it off. Even though AJ Styles would come to him every week and say, like, how's that bandwidth looking? Like, let's do this. But just the sheer amount of not, like, just in-ring preparation, training preparation, and then the work for the match itself, just overwhelming Triple H with the amount of stuff, the executive stuff that he has to do in the backstage area. Anyway, he goes on to talk about where it's just like, at this point, whatever happens in-ring is just a bit of a bonus, and his main goal is the executive stuff. He does talk about not counting it completely out in the future, though. If he can find the time and everyone involved believes it's the right thing to do, then he will definitely do it. And he also talks about how Ric Flair keeps bringing up the fact about having this last retirement match. I mean, Ric Flair, of all people, can talk about that. But he says he calls him all the time to tell him, like, you have to get back in the ring and have that closure and do a retirement match. And he says that there's part of him that wants to do it and another part that says, I'm too busy 24/7. And even if you try to train the way you would want to, like by in shape, he doesn't just mean the look, like he in shape ring wise, like ring ready, what they always talk about. So he doesn't embarrass himself when he gets in there, which is quite the talking point these days. It's a lot of work. He's not afraid of the work. And if you could make more hours in the day, he would do it. But he just needs more time. So I wouldn't count out a big final Mania match from Triple H. It's obviously something that's in his mind. Maybe Ric Flair's kind of seeding that thing of like, yeah, you're going to need this closure to, like, if you're ending your in-ring part of your career, have that last match kind of thing. And I guess AJ Styles is up there with the top opponents for him.
Yeah, and you can't knock AJ for trying. Like, he's throwing everything at this. Like, I think since... before Christmas, at least, I heard talk of AJ, like, speaking to Triple H and speaking to various outlets and saying, yeah, that's the match. That's the match you want. Give me that match. Like, he's had a go. He's definitely shot.
He did the same for The Undertaker, and it paid off for that one.
Exactly. So he's got 4 minutes, so like, you can't blame him for that. But with the whole Triple H thing, I think a lot of it in his mind as well, in terms of getting in, like, in ring shape and ring ready, I think he'll always have them scars in his mind from when he tore his pec in Crown Jewel. That was another thing where I bet the audience went, ah, we'll be fine, we'll go out there, we'll just hit the greatest hits, and chaos. So I don't think he wants to, like, a rerun of that. I think he's probably still trying to live that down a little bit, like, do you know what I mean? In terms of this part of his career, I think that's a big blemish on it. So I think he'll definitely just want to give his absolute best. And like you said, he's one of the busiest men in all of wrestling. Like, he's got that many plates that he's spinning at the same time. And I think also in terms of the Ric Flair stuff, I think he said something about do it while you can, and that you're still in a position where you can still go out there and probably still can put on a decent match. Like, the one against Batista at WrestleMania 35 wasn't a bad match, really. Like, it was a typical Triple H match. It was, like, maybe 10 minutes too long and all the rest of that, but... it's still, for a guy his age and the shape he was in and how busy he is, he did a good enough job. So Flair's probably going...
He also said an interesting thing about AJ being the kind of guy who can carry him at this point.
Yeah.
And specifically used the term carry involved in that match. So it seems like maybe the confidence for going out there and putting on the kind of level of performance that he would want isn't quite there yet.
I mean, I think you put those two in a match at this point, they'll smash it out of the park. I think he's maybe underselling himself a little bit, which is not something we can say an awful lot about Triple H in his history. But I think he could still do a job. But speaking of Triple H on this conference call and some monumental news, which we weren't able to massively cover yesterday because Good Friday, I'm sorry, it's a thing. It's a thing here, okay? We've got to deal with it. We'll acknowledge this elephant in the room. But Triple H was talking, obviously, about Chris Jericho being announced to appear on Broken Skull Sessions in WWE. I thought this was a rip, like, when I first saw it. Like, I thought it was a delayed April Fool's thing. I thought it was like...
So did I.
I thought they'd photoshopped Jericho in, or, like, edited him from the last time he did the like, his old stuff when he used to do, like, a podcast for WWE. Do you know what I mean? I thought it was some trickery, so my head fell completely off. But we'll just go into an awful lot of detail with this now really quickly, as quick as I can, because Triple H had comments on it, Steve Austin got comments on it, but Triple H said in his conference that he's not surprised that this has happened. Now, everyone else is surprised, but he's not surprised because Vince is always open for business. He isn't sure how this correlates with the whole Forbidden Door and all the rest of that going forward. He said that he's at Jericho's appearance on Stone Cold Steve Austin's Broken Skulls thing. It's not shocking because... people do create but other people, like fans outside of the business, create these situations in their heads where they think everyone hates each other. These nutty situations where the whole world's just against each other. He said that's just not the case. Vince will, if it makes sense for WWE as a company, he'll do it. Like, and everyone always has these stories of like how Vince rings him up and says, "Oh, the best man, I'm really rooting for you. Hope you smash it out of the park wherever you go." And it appears like this seems to reinforce that Vince is, there's no real hard feelings. And if he can get you back in at some point down the line to do a job, like Salty says, Salty knows it's best for business. All right. I've got somebody backing me. So, yeah, that was Triple H's comments on this. He's just not shocked. He's not surprised. And it was pretty much confirmed there and then that we are going to have an AEW versus WWE on air war. It's going to happen. So there it is. That's the written confirmation. Write your articles off and abuse me on Twitter. So Steve Austin, apparently, his comments on it. He spoke to Sports Illustrated, like when this broke, this huge news yesterday. And obviously the first question was, how in the hell did this happen? Like, because it's just mad. Like, 2020 is crazy. And Austin said, I was having a beer one night after my Broken Skull Sessions interview with The Undertaker aired. And out of the blue, Chris Jericho reached out and said, man, that was a great interview. And then Austin went on to say that I sent him back a couple of those emojis, one of a beer mug and the other of an eagle. And then he called me back right there and then. So I think that's I was going to say, when people send me a beer, I'm always there straight away. Anybody sends me a beer and a bird, I'm like, whoa, what's going on, man? Like, it just triggers you. Then he said, we got talking. I've always respected the hell out of his career, and I'm glad they're around, there being AEW. It gives the guys and girls in professional wrestling more places to work. I'd love to have you on the show, is apparently what Austin said to Jericho. And he said he'd love to do it, so I checked with Vince about it. And this is the real interesting bit. I love this. So he said, I texted Vince and said we had this badass idea about Jericho coming on the show. Vince goes, it's cool. Go ahead. So obviously, I think anybody in this situation would be like, I'm sorry, what? So he said, but me and Vince don't always do well with phones and texts and all that. So I texted him one more time and I said, are you sure it's okay to have Chris Jericho on the show? He said, Vince gave me the thumbs up and Chris came out to do the show. So emojis make the WWE world go round. That's what I'm getting here. But one last little quote. He said, we go into everything in the podcast. That is everything. So all the AEW stuff apparently is going to be talked about. Tony Khan gave his approval to Jericho to do this as well. Obviously, Tony Khan just wants wrestling to be the best it can possibly be. So it's no surprise really that he's backing this. He said Jericho is one of the... Austin said this, sorry. Jericho is one of the all-time greats and is going to be cool to have someone from AEW on a WWE show. To bottom line it, I'm excited for people to watch this show. As am I, Phil. As am I.
Absolutely. This is... one of those things that you just kind of assume is never, ever going to happen. Like, because it's WWE at the end of the day, and they do not like talking about their competition. You can definitely see this from Jericho and Tony Khan. But Vince McMahon is a whole nother matter. But it turns up, the power of that thumbs up emoji, does he fully understand Who knows anymore? I don't know. We'll have news probably up after the WrestleMania day. God, there's so much wrestling next week. And there's no Twitter questions today because we're very, very busy. It's WrestleMania season. So we're just going to cut the video off there. But thank you very much for watching. This has been the Wrestling News. Let us know what you think of A. Jericho on the Stone Cold podcast down below and all of those banned terms. Let us know what you think down in the comments. Subscribe to the channel, like the video. You can follow us. You can follow all of us at WhatCultureWWE. You can follow me at FilmMyChambers, and you can follow Gareth
at GMorgan04.
That's about it. Most importantly, have yourselves a bloody good day. There's going to be ups and downs coming, podcasts coming, loads of stuff coming next week. It's going to be crazy.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.